This is Dylan FM, a Freak Music Club podcast. I'm Bob Dylan. If you love Dylan, you're in the right place. This season, we're going deep on Time Out of Mind to celebrate its 25th anniversary. Here's your host, Craig Danieloff.
Covers are an important but somewhat underappreciated part of the music world, but no one can blame that on Ray Padgett. For over a decade, Ray has been running the Cover Me website at covermesongs.com, and he's the author of a great book, also called Cover Me. It tells the stories behind some of the most famous covers ever, including the Hendrix version of All Along the Watchtower and the Adele version of Make You Feel My Love. Ray also runs a must-have Dylan email newsletter called Flaggin' Down the Double E's. The newsletter does deep dives into legendary Dylan live shows and has delivered some amazing interviews with musicians that have played with Dylan as well. There have been quite a few covers of the songs of Time Out of Mind, and we asked Ray to put together their history and share some of his favorites, which he did for a recent event with our premium members. What follows is a recording of that presentation, and then I got to ask Ray a few covers-related questions. By the way, Ray has a Time Out of Mind covers playlist for Spotify, and we've built a matching version for Apple Music. Find the links in the show notes. In those notes, you'll also find links to Ray's book on Amazon, his website, and a way to sign up for his email newsletter. But for now, here's Ray Padgett.
When I was sort of thinking about Time Out of Mind covers, and, you know, going through my massive absurd number of covers in my iTunes, there's really two stories. And so I'm going to kind of separate them and do two quick parts. Story number one is going to be 10 of the songs, every song but one, because one song is in its own category, and that'll be the second part. And I'm going to create a little suspense here by not saying what that song is, but honestly, if you've paid any attention to Dylan covers or even Dylan music in the past 20 years, you can probably guess which the separate in its own category song is. But in terms of the other 10 songs, you know, I was sort of trying to organize them chronologically. And one thing I noticed is that other artists picked up Time Out of Mind songs fairly quickly. You know, I was comparing like how many covers were these songs getting in the year or so after their release. And I compared that to his last few albums at the time of original material, you know, Under the Red Sky or Oh Mercy. And Time Out of Mind, just people were covering it left and right at a far, far, far quicker pace. Like, you know, you might say Under the Red Sky, well, the songs aren't as good. But, you know, Oh Mercy, I think people cover those songs all the time at this point. But, you know, as the as his old intro used to say, he was written off as a has-been at the end of the 80s, and that included by other musicians who were not jumping to cover new Bob Dylan songs. You know, I think you could theorize as to why Time Out of Mind got covered so much more so quickly. One, the quality of the songs, although again, as an Oh Mercy champion, I would say they're just as good. But also, you know, I think the narrative played a big part in it in the 80s. You know, he was, you know, written off as a has-been, and then this thing comes out and it's both a great album, and then it's kind of this comeback after years of not having original material. And then he, you know, almost died, or that was sort of the narrative a few months prior. And then he has this album about mortality. So anyway, a million covers of Time Out of Mind songs. And one of the first artists to cover one of the songs, and this was only a couple months after the album came out, was David Bowie. And David Bowie tried his hand at Trying to Get to Heaven. I believe it was recorded in January of 1998, though it didn't get official release until Record Store Day last year. It's, you know, it's been circulating for a million years. So I'm not going to play clips of like too many. I'm not going to go full DJ here, but I'm going to play a half dozen or so, you know, sort of the more important covers of these songs, historically speaking. And where else to start but David Bowie, Trying to Get to Heaven.
It's getting harder. There's a rumbling in the sky. I've been wading through the hot, muddy water with heat rising through my eye. Every day you'll never.
So that's a little bit of David Bowie recording Trying to Get to Heaven only a couple months after Bob released his version. And one of the other very early Time Out of Mind covers was the White Stripes. You know, they had, as many people probably know, the version of One More Cup of Coffee, which came out on their debut album, also in the late 90s. But the same year, 1999, they were doing Lovesick in their set. And it's actually, I was looking at some set list databases. It was one of their most played songs. It's, you know, they played it more often than they played a ton of their own songs. So to give you a sense, here's a little bit of the White Stripes' Lovesick. And the clouds are weeping. Did I hear someone tell a lie? Did I hear some long distant cry? I spoke like a child, it distraught me with a smile. That is the White Stripes doing Lovesick, which I don't believe they ever released a studio version of, but they did release a live version on one of their B-sides. And like I said, performed it in a million concerts. One other quick version of Lovesick I wanted to play, not historically as important, not by as big a name of artist, but I think of interest to Dylan freaks, is also in 1999. So this is also a fairly early cover of a Time Out of Mind song. It was put on an album by Duke Robillard, who of course had played on the Time Out of Mind sessions, although I don't believe on the song Lovesick. And then many years later, for a brief window, was playing Lovesick with Bob. So here's a little few seconds of Duke Robillard Lovesick.
I see lovers in the meadow. I see silhouettes in the window.
So Lovesick has also become one of the most covered songs off of Time Out of Mind. Trying to Get to Heaven is one, Lovesick is one, and one more version of another song that is the second most covered song off of Time Out of Mind. Not Dark Yet. This is another early version. And I just want to play because I think it's great. This is the group Mercury Rev, kind of, you know, they're big in the indie world in the 90s and 2000s, not, you know, big names like the White Stripes or Bowie, but they've done some killer Bob covers. And so a little bit of Not Dark Yet by Mercury Rev.
Shadows fall. Here all day. It's too hot to sleep. Time's running away. It feels like my soul has turned into steel.
Mercury Rev doing Not Dark Yet in Tel Aviv, Israel, in April 1st, 2000. Time Out of Mind covers have basically continued ever since. Those ones were all early, but every year there's two or three more pretty high profile covers of one of those songs. Or the one more I wanted to mention, which is not quite covered at the level of those, but is interesting because it's become a genre staple, and that is Million Miles. Million Miles is at this point kind of like a blues standard. Like I say, it doesn't get covered cross-genre, but like Tedeschi Trucks Band has done it. Alvin Youngblood Heart has done it. And the one I'm going to play now, a few years ago, Bonnie Raitt did it. So it's sort of in this interesting genre niche, Million Miles has just exploded, even though beyond, you know, blues, blues cats, it's not getting played much. So here's a few seconds of Bonnie Raitt, Million Miles.
There's voices in the night trying to be heard. I'm sitting here listening to every mind polluting word. And I know plenty of people that put shut me up for a day or two.
So that is a brief overview of some of 10 of the songs off of Time Out of Mind. But honestly, you can kind of forget about all of them, because all 10 of those songs, great as so many of them are, Love Sick and Trying to Get to Heaven and Not Dark Yet, covers of those 10 songs do not even come close combined to the number of covers of the 11th song. Again, a little statistic, Not Dark Yet, there's this one database, it lists 28 covers. I'm sure there are more, but that's, you know, sort of official releases. And that's the second most covered song off of Time Out of Mind, 28 for Not Dark Yet. The song at number one has 216 covers in this database. 26 for number two, 216 for number one. And as I'm sure most of you have figured out already, that number one song is Make You Feel My Love. Make You Feel My Love has been covered at this point by Boy George, by Neil Diamond, by Ed Sheeran, by Michael Bublé, Kelly Clarkson, Susan Boyle, the cast from Glee. And for God's sakes, it's been covered by Engelbert Humperdinck. The only Dylan song he ever covered, I found an interview where he was talking about it. He's like, all the Dylan songs are like too weird for me. They're too arty. Whereas like, Make You Feel My Love, that's like right in the Engelbert Humperdinck wheelhouse. So how did Make You Feel My Love get here? Where like, I tell you the cast from Glee has covered it. And you're not even surprised. Of course they have. Why wouldn't they have? Engelbert Humperdinck, Michael Bublé? Sure, of course they've covered it. There were three key covers sort of along the way. And as Craig said in the intro, you know, this is kind of, there was a whole chapter in my first book, Cover Me, tracking Make You Feel My Love. It was the idea of the book was like 20 iconic covers through, you know, the decades. And the first one was like Elvis doing Hound Dog. And I was like, at the time I was thinking, what's like a recent cover that's so iconic, so massive that like could be the final chapter. And ultimately it had to be Make You Feel My Love. So the first cover is interesting. Billy Joel. It's not great, but it's interesting. And it's interesting because it actually came out before Time Out of Mind. So in a way, Billy Joel's is the original version, if you judge by release date. And the way that happened was Columbia Records, Bob's label, but also Billy Joel's, were preparing a third volume of his greatest hits album months before Time Out of Mind. They wanted a new track. And at this point, Billy Joel basically had already retired from writing songs. So, you know, someone reached out to Dylan's camp. Dylan's people played Billy Joel a demo of Make You Feel My Love. And, you know, Billy Joel recorded it. And yeah, it came out in August of 97, a month before Bob's, and became a top 10 adult contemporary hit. So here is a brief glimpse of Billy Joel.
Make you feel my love.
So that's Billy Joel, big hit in the adult contemporary world. Fast forward 6 months and we get sort of crucial cover number two in Make You Feel My Love story. And that is from Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks recorded it for a forgotten Sandra Bullock and Harry Connick Jr. movie called Hope Floats. And not only does Garth Brooks cover Make You Feel My Love, but Trisha Yearwood, who would later become married to Brooks, she also covers it. And like, not many soundtracks include two different covers of the same song, but clearly they expected big things. And they were correct, because Brooks then took the song to number one on the country charts in mid-1998. Again, we're only 6 months after the album's come out, and it's already been a top 10 hit on adult contemporary and country charts. So here's a few seconds of Brooks.
Storms are raging on a rolling sea, down the highway of regret.
So you can already hear the template for 99% of the covers that are out there in these first two big ones, sort of sentimental piano ballad, verging on schmaltz in quite a few of the versions. So at this point, Make You Feel My Love is already big. It's not huge, but it's big. It's getting, you know, quite a few covers over the subsequent few years. And what takes it to the top tier comes along a number of years later in 2008, and that is Adele. And she was the focus of that chapter in my book I mentioned. And I interviewed, you know, a bunch of people around her, producers and companies and managers and stuff. And one of the interesting stories I heard was talking with her manager, because her manager is the guy named Jonathan Dickens. And his father, it turns out, is a guy named Barry Dickens. And Barry Dickens is the longtime booking agent for Bob Dylan. So the way this song got to Adele, she didn't know the Billy Joel version. She didn't know the Garth Brooks version, but Dylan's booking agent was talking to his son and he recommended, you know, this Dylan song. And, you know, they had wanted a cover for her debut album. And Adele loved it. You know, she had a quote at the time, which she said, "I don't like his voice." Speaking of Bob, "I don't like his voice. It really grates. But I Googled the lyrics. They're stunning and kind of summed up what I've been trying to say in all my songs." And so she recorded it for the album 19, her debut album. At this point, we're almost a decade after Billy Joel and Garth Brooks. And this takes it into the stratosphere. So I'm sure you've heard it, but here's a few seconds of Adele doing "Make You Feel My Love."
The winds of change are blowing wild and free. You ain't seen nothing like me. If I could make you happy, make your dreams come true, nothing that I wouldn't do.
So the interesting thing at this point is that version is not a huge hit. Like, it's not even a single early on. I think it's like the fourth single or something. It goes to 26 in the UK, which is not that high. It doesn't go anywhere in the US. And then it like falls off the charts. So it's, you know, again, we're still at the sort of second tier layer of covers for "Make You Feel My Love." But what happens is the song starts getting sung on all these TV singing shows that are huge at the time. American Idol contestants are singing "Make You Feel My Love," X Factor, et cetera, et cetera. It goes back on the charts. It rises way higher to number 4, the Adele version, I mean. Other people, their versions are getting on the charts. Even I was looking up some recent covers, and The Masked Singer, a show I've never watched, but apparently The Masked Singer just a few months ago had Todrick Hall in a giant bull costume belting out "Make You Feel My Love" on national TV. Adele's cover apparently has generated, at this point, over 200 million plays on streaming services. 200 million. I haven't looked up, you know, Bob's statistics, but I'm sure his performance of "Make You Feel My Love" is nowhere near that number. And so, you know, at this point, it's just everywhere. I'm not even going to play any, you know, more of the big ones because there's too many to name, those artists I just listed. It's been translated into dozens of languages. Hebrew, Dutch, Norwegian, pretty much every language you can think of, someone's translated "Make You Feel My Love." And, you know, I was trying to listen to a bunch of them, you know, in preparation for this. They're really middle of the road. They're, you know, Adele's great, but so many of them are schmaltzy and corny ballads. Like, they sound like people on American Idol just belting. You know, I think of it, I wrote this shorter book that was like about Leonard Cohen covers a couple of years ago. And it's like, it's sort of in that hallelujah category where like the Bob version's great. Some of the covers are great, but so many of them just take this sort of subtlety and nuance that these two guys who, you know, Leonard Cohen and Bob Dylan have these idiosyncratic voices who are not going to be belting to the rafters. And I think that's what gives the song some of their power and just remove all subtlety and all nuance for these sort of, you know, extremely schlocky covers. You know, before we started here, Craig and I were talking about, I'm sure he mentioned he did a poll for like, you know, what's your least favorite song of Time Out of Mind, and, you know, "Make You Feel My Love," people were saying, and the big reason, you know, and people cited this was the covers. I mean, you think of people, even, you know, these are big Dylan fans, the strong dislike of "Make You Feel My Love." I don't think it'd even be a conversation without all of these sort of middle of the road covers. You know, first of all, I think the Bob version is pretty good, but even if you don't love it, I don't think you'd have that strong of an opinion on it. Like, he does plenty of sort of, you know, slow romantic ballads in recent years. And like, I don't know, I don't love "Soon After Midnight," but I don't feel that strongly about it. But "Make You Feel My Love" is one of those songs that's become sort of unavoidable in this context. And I was, again, looking at some statistics, and the way things are going, not only is this the most covered song off Time Out of Mind, I mean, it's not even close. Like I said, this is already, for a relatively recent song, one of his most covered songs ever. And the way things are going, "Make You Feel My Love," it's on the way to become the most, you know, "Blowing in the Wind," "Mr. Tambourine Man," "Knocking on Heaven's Door." I run this website, Craig mentioned Cover Me, and like, I don't get anywhere near as many as of covers of that song as I do. I do "Make You Feel My Love." I looked on YouTube maybe an hour before we're doing this. In the past 24 hours on YouTube, 12 new covers have been uploaded. That's one new Make You Feel My Love every 2 hours. And for reference, that is more than new covers of Blown in the Wind, All Along the Watchtower, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Mr. Tambourine Man, and I Shall Be Released combined. So that tells you the sort of scale we're talking about, Make You Feel My Love covers. It is, at this point, a standard. I don't even know how many people know that Bob Dylan wrote it or doing it. You see a lot of them labeled Make You Feel My Love, parentheses, Adele cover. But even, you know, honestly, in 20 years, it just may be one of those songs that you sort of assume always existed. Adele might not even be associated with it anymore. So I wanted to end with like one that is way out of left field that has nothing to do with any of this. So to close, here's a one that I don't know if you'll like it or not. It's real weird, but it certainly sounds different than the Make You Feel My Loves you've heard in the past. This is an LA group called The Longing.
So Ray, as someone who has been deep in the cover world for a long time, what is the effect of covers on the original album, sales, the artist, or does this perception that seems to be happening for Make You Feel My Love, is that typical?
I mean, in some ways, it's atypical for most artists, but it's typical for Dylan, right? I mean, you know, you go back to the 60s and like covers to some degree made his career or made him at least bigger than sort of a slightly niche singer-songwriter. You know, we're talking like Peter Paul and Mary Blown in the Wind and, you know, stuff of that era. And that's continued on and off, you know, Knocking on Heaven's Door, Guns N' Roses. Like every few years, maybe once a decade, there's something like this that bubbles up. But Make You Feel My Love not only is another example of that, but like I say, it's sort of become the biggest example of that. The interesting thing is it's hard to quantify exactly how that affects Bob Dylan himself beyond financially, where I'm sure it's been an enormous amount of money for him. But like he plays the song live some, but not, you know, it's not like an every night song. The streams on it, like if you look on Spotify, they're good, you know, but they're not, like I say, they're not Adele doing it level good. I don't know, you know, I haven't tracked the sales of Time Out of Mind, but I haven't gotten the sense that, you know, it's like a total game changer for Time Out of Mind, which again, before this was like, you know, his comeback album and winning Grammys and stuff. So it's hard to, like I say, it's made that song his most covered song. Or on the way to be his most covered song for, again, or it's crazy when you think about, like, this is a guy who was metaphorically near death in his career before this album in terms of the public perception and, you know, almost literally near death a few months before to, like, you know, this relative geezer in terms of the, you know, popular music world to, like, be delivering what's becoming his signature song. You know, so late in life is kind of amazing. In terms of the other covers of Time Off of Mind, you know, I think it started a trend that's basically continued ever since, which is people knowing Bob's new work is interesting and worth covering, and none of them have the numbers, but, you know, something like Lovesick gets covered fairly often, and even, you know, Rough and Rowdy Ways, within 6 months, there were a number of fairly high-profile covers of I Contain Multitudes, and I've Made Up My Mind to Give Myself to You. So, you know, I think Time Out of Mind was the first, but it's basically been that way ever since.
It is interesting, you alluded to it, that the respect he regained in the industry probably has as much to do with that as anything else, because people could go into the 80s and certainly find songs. If they were purely looking for songs, they're there. But they were songs by a guy with, as you say, a different attitude, you know, from the public.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two camps or two categories here that from Time Out of Mind. On the one hand, there's sort of the critical comeback, and I think that was there without the covers, right? But on the other hand, there's like actually having a hit, and I mean, when, you know, not with with a song he wrote, if not with his own recording, which, like I say, had been sort of most of his hits were other people recording them. And, you know, that hadn't happened in a million years. And so that was where the covers really, really came in.
What do you think about the fact that this song got picked up? I mean, do you think it was a domino effect, meaning Billy Joel, Garth Brooks, the Adele ascendancy, plus the TV shows, and all these people now do it because it's a frequently covered song, versus it also is a bit of an unusual song in Dylan's canon. I mean, I would agree with you that there are ballads and there are, you know, emotional songs. I feel like the songwriting style and the language sticks out a little bit and is different. So it's kind of interesting to me that many Dylan people would say it's the least sophisticated or the least complex in certain ways. Not that that's bad in any way. And yet it's the one that gets picked up the most. I guess my question is, do you think the simplicity of it has something to do with the accessibility for everyone?
I mean, not only do I think that, but there have been a number of interviews with the artists who have covered it, who have said that, including Adele, including Engelbert Humperdinck. Like, you know, he had a quote and it was something like, you know, everything else is like too weird. But like, this is a, you know, it's so middle of the road. It's me. And Adele, the funny thing is Adele, I don't remember if she said this or someone I interviewed for the book, but was saying that like, the one hesitation with putting it on her album was that it was too simple. Like any other Dylan song, they would have been like, it's too, you know, weird or esoteric. And this one, they're like, is this like too basic of a song? And, you know, I know if you're a Dylan fan, like you can find deeper meanings, you know, like maybe the guy's a stalker or something, which is a take I kind of like. But like, in terms of the surface level, in terms of most of the people, most of the 200 million people who are streaming the Adele version, like it's a classic, very simple, very straightforward, very singable love ballad, you know, and that's why I think it's had the legs it has.
You talk about the production and the instrumentation of the Adele version and the piano player who came and played with you, played with Adele, mm-hmm. and the set of feeling he brought to it. Was there anything else about that story that you think is worth retelling? Because I thought it showed that she took it seriously. It sort of showed that there's reason, performance-based reasons for the success of it, besides her voice, in terms of they really found a authentic way, a creative way to play that song.
When I interviewed him, one thing that he said that was kind of interesting was, so he, you know, as you heard in the Billy Joel and Garth Brooks, like doing it over as a piano ballad is like, everyone does it that way pretty much. But what he did, this Neil, I can't blank on his last name, he went in and he literally played along to the Dylan version. So he's like trying to work out his piano part and he's just got the Time Out of Mind recording on a loop and he's kind of playing along. And then, you know, eventually he just erases the Dylan version, you know, and then Adele comes in and she sings over that. And I mean, it's tweaked. It's not like you can literally play them on top of each other.
Piano karaoke.
Same tempo. But yeah, but he like, not only was it like modeled off the Dylan version in terms of the melody and lyrics, but like he literally was coming up with the arrangement, you know, kind of, he said he was like fitting his, you know, he said something like Dylan's recording has a lot of space in it. So a lot of space for me as a pianist to kind of be filling in gaps. And so he's doing that. And yeah, then eventually he just stops. He keeps playing himself and stops playing the recording. And that's kind of how Adele's, you know, arrangement came to be.
All right, Ray. Well, thanks. This was a great review of the covers for Time Out of Mind. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Check out Ray's playlist for tons of Time Out of Mind covers, plus links to his website, newsletter, and book in the show notes.
Don't forget to subscribe and rate this podcast. It really helps. For bonus episodes and more, become a member at freakmusic.club/join. And you can follow us on Twitter or Instagram at FMC_Dylan. Thanks for listening.